Greetings. How are you all folks doing without pastor and family? It just seemed that we lost someone. There's a disconnect. And so anyway, we love this family very much. They've been part of this family for many years. Speaking about family, I came from a family of 10. 4 brothers, 5 sisters. And just like any family, we have our ups and also down. And I would say I am very blessed to say that we didn't have too much challenges. The one thing I can remember is that my father usually, he gets angry, but he kind of keeps it to himself. But basically, I'm blessed to have a family like that. And I'm sure whether you have a family of 10 or a smaller family, you have some maybe similar challenges in your home. Folks, for many years, the enemy has been trying to destroy families. And most of the time when I'm here, I will be talking about families. Look at the first family. Adam and Eve, they sinned. They were told not to eat from the Garden of Eden. They sinned. And their sons, Cain, did the first murder, kill his brother Abel for jealousy. And there was Abraham and Sarah, who had problem, mostly Sarah, had problem with Hagar. And Ishmael, who was always teasing Isaac. And so there was problems here and there. So the family decided to do a divorce. So they got separated back then. And then there was Uncle Isaac and Auntie Becky. Lots of problems. First, Jacob, when Esau was hungry and asked for some soup, Jacob asked him for his birthright, which he gave it to him. And then Auntie Becky helped Jacob stole the blessings from the family. And then Esau wanted to kill Jacob, and so Auntie Peggy helped him run to Uncle Laban. And that time it was both Isaac and Rebecca who tried to make him run also. And you know, my, there were so much problem when they were in Paddan Aram with Uncle Laban. And so we heard that while they were there, Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, but instead he was giving, on the wedding night, he was giving Leah. And so he had to work another 7 years just to get Leah. And so there's problems in that family, and we know that all throughout the Bibles, for example, Solomon and David, they had problems. And I believe that's the reason why Israel was divided and eventually no longer a nation at that time. Folks, as I was saying, and I'm going to say it, one of the biggest problems facing families for generations today is the lack of forgiveness, the lack of true reconciliation. And in today's passage, we will learn that though neglected, abused, falsely accused, and far from home, Joseph was still willing to follow God. And Joseph forgave and saved his family, especially his brothers. And in that process, God used him not to save his family, but save the nation of Israel, the nation of Egypt, and literally save the world. And the reading for today is Genesis 45, 1-15, and I'll be using other selected passages. And before we go there, and before I read, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you that you selected us to be part of your family. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to understand who you are and help the Holy Spirit, or allow the Holy Spirit, to make us understand about the life of Joseph and his family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, again, the reading is Genesis 45, 1-15. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household will, and all you who belong to you will become destitute. You can see for yourselves, and so can my brother Benjamin, that it is really I who am speaking to you. Tell my father about all the honor accorded to me in Egypt, and about everything you have seen, and bring my father down here quickly." Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him weeping, and he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And afterwards, his brothers talked with him. Folks, we have heard the story about Joseph many, many times before. But has it ever sunk into your heart that you just want to embrace someone that hurt you? Your family, maybe someone that hurt you. You embrace them and you want to weep with them, even though it's their fault. Have you really, really done that? I've never did that. I really hope I'm going through the same process that Joseph did. You see, folks, chapter 37 of Genesis started with Jacob. Now, Jacob and his family now settled in Bethel in Canaan after they have moved from Padan Aram. As I was saying, they have moved from Laban's family. Now they have 12 sons from Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, and Zilpah. These are maidservants of Leah and Rachel. Joseph was favored by Jacob. He had dreams that his brother did not like, because these dreams make him look like he's their ruler. But what brought this hatred to an even higher level was their father's gift of a wonderful, colorful coat to Joseph. When Joseph was 17, his father asked him to check on his brothers while they were flocking the family's flock, or looking after the animals in Shechem. And folks, at this point, when the brothers first noticed him, their first thought was, they want to kill him. That's how much they have kept their hatred all these years. Even though the brother was going there to check on them, make sure they have enough food, make sure they were okay, but they wanted to kill him. They have been nursing their anger for many years. First, they decided to draw him into a cistern, that is an empty cave, and then decided to, well, first they were going to kill him, and they decided to throw him into the cistern. And then when they saw some Midianite merchant heading to Egypt, they sold him as a slave. And when they got home, they told their dad, Joseph was killed by an animal, because they kill an animal, put blood on the cloth. And so life went on without Joseph, and Jacob was terrified, because that was his most favorite son. And so it appeared that the problem was tucked away, but they never told their dad all these years. While in Egypt, as we know, Joseph learned that God was still in control of everything. He might have faced challenges there from the caves and all the problems he had in Shephel of Shechem, but he knew that God was still in control. Folks, Romans 8:28 says that everything worked together for good for those who love God. He was sold to Potiphar, as we know, and Potiphar was very amazed about his honesty and his skill. But unfortunately, Potiphar's wife accused him of making advances to her. And so therefore, he was thrown into jail. As part of that, everything worked together for good. Because while he was there, the Pharaoh's cup bearer and the bakers were there. And they had dreams. And so the baker was executed. But the cupbearer was restored back to work. And so at this point, Joseph was still in prison. And at one time, Pharaoh had two dreams that we all know. And so the cupbearer finally remembered. He kind of forgot him for a while. He kind of remembered Joseph. And so told Pharaoh, because Pharaoh asked all his magicians to tell him about his dream, about the 7 years. And so Joseph brought into place. And after that, it was elevated. He was elevated from where he was in jail, where he was in the cistern, the cave, to be the second person in command in Egypt. What a great place to be. What a great place to make witness, even to his family. And so at this point, all attention was toward Egypt. And so all attention was toward Joseph. The greatest mission is right at home. The greatest mission is right where you are at. That is where your greatest mission is. Now let us look at four lessons that I think. There's a lot of lessons when we can come up with. When we prepare a message, we should come up with some principles, some applications. They will be applied here and there. Sometimes they're scattered, and sometimes they're at the end. But they will be scattered, and they will be also at the end. Okay? Four lessons I have. Lesson number one, how Joseph was used by God in dealing with unconfessed sins. Folks, sometimes God makes us dance around here and there until we get the picture. Number two, how God used Joseph in dealing with actually giving out forgiveness and doing reconciliation. Number three, knowing God through Joseph, God's big picture. And finally, God's showing Joseph and us today the family redemptive plan. There must be a plan for recovery. I work at EPA. Well, sometimes we call that hazard mitigation. You want to prevent the problem from occurring again. It might happen, but at least you've got some points to work with to keep the process going. Okay? So the first one is dealing with unconfessed sins. In the story of Joseph, forgiveness and reconciliation did not take place right away. The brothers were the ones who sinned against Joseph. In Psalm 92:6, the senseless man does not know God. Fools do not understand. And at this point, they did not seek God. Therefore, God was dealing with their heart first. Which what took place in chapter 42 to 44. In chapter 42, Joseph's brother went to Egypt to buy food during the famine, not expecting to find Joseph, whom they hurt badly. When Joseph saw them, he immediately recognized them. and tested them. Joseph was faithful with God all these years, so God used him to bring true salvation to his family. He tested them not to repay what they have done, but to make sure they were ready to know more about the true God that he had, God of their forefathers. In verse 18, Joseph said he kept one of the brothers behind and stated he feared God. He told them right away, I fear God. And so he had to keep Simeon behind. I believe that he was trying to let them know that though he was second in command and appeared mean, that ultimately he was doing God's will. In verse 21, they said, at that point, they said, surely we are punished because of our brother. We saw how distressed he was when he pleaded with us for his life, but we would not listen. That's why this distress has come upon us. So the test worked. They start to feel and went back to the field of Shechem and said, see, that's what's going on. So Joseph's test worked right away. He immediately saw how distressed he was in that field. And that was about 20 years ago. And he was begging for his life, but they still sold him. The test continued. When Joseph had Simeon held as a ransom until Benjamin was to return with them to Egypt, in verse 27, they were terrified when they found silver in their bags. That was when they got back home. There were silver in their bags, each one of them. And they feared God greatly. So that's the rooting continues as they went back home. However, he decided not to send them even. That was when they're back home, they told their father Jacob, and he was terrified. He will not send Benjamin. He still felt the loss of Joseph many years ago. And so he didn't want to send Benjamin at this point. And so at this point, the call for reconciliation seems to be at a standstill, but not with God. Now, folks, sometimes God uses people and situation to delay a process so his will be clear. In this case, God continued to search and root out the family problem, as we see in chapter 43. Joseph's brothers never at once mentioned to their father that God was dealing with them while they were in Egypt. Although they were convicted of what they did to Joseph, and that they were being punished, they never asked God or asked their father for forgiveness or told him at least what happened. Joseph told them that he feared God when he told them that they were spies. I want to make a point here, folks. If God convicts you of something that you have not confessed or confessed in your life, what do you do? Do you wait for another time? Or how do you know there is another time or another trip? And that is exactly what happened. They did not see God, so God made them take another trip back to Egypt. We see in chapter 43, when food was low again, Jacob sent his sons back to Egypt with Benjamin. It was during the second journey that God used Joseph to use additional tactics to pry open the brothers and to talk and to become more open and to become more responsible. When the brothers were trying to kill an eventual soul, Joseph, no one tried to stop him. I know that Reuben didn't really like the idea, but he didn't stop them. They were always looking at Judah, but he didn't stop them. So God made them go back to Egypt so they can face their past. In chapter 44, the test of the brother became more harsh, and Judah decided to take the stand and offer himself as a guarantee, and he appeared to want to protect the well-being of their father and Benjamin. Why didn't, like I was saying, Why didn't Judah did not stop their brother from mistreating Joseph in the fields of Shechem? There was some sense of responsibility, but no confession of sins. Judah wants to be responsible, still no confession. That's what was needed at this point. Folks, Psalm 32:3-4. This is David now. When I kept silent, my bone wasted away through my groaning all day long. And in verse 4, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When we don't confess our sins, it's just like our bones are just being dried up. It's just very heavy on us. And speaking about Independence Day, freedom, if you ask God to forgive you, He will set you free. There is renewed strength when we confess our sins. Folks, these past 2 weeks, we have heard the story about Brandon Evangelista. The boy was ran over by his own family at the Tankison Beach. They lied. They lied that they ran over their son, their grandson, their nephew. Nobody wanted to stand up and say, we were playing and he fell and we ran over him. And as you can see, nobody wanted to claim his body. They were in jail. And thank God the Catholic Church allowed him to have a plot, and the folks came out to support Brandon. Are there situations in our life today we just want to run over our kids and don't feel responsible? In a way, sometimes, yes, we may not run over our kids, but we can do things maybe similar to that. My second message for today is how God used Joseph in dealing with reconciliation and confession. Remember, the last time I said, it's just dealing with it. Just make it, just pry open. Now we're actually looking at the true reconciliation and confession. See, God's work in the hearts of the brother in these three chapters, He was rooting in these three chapters, 42, 43, 44. They started to some kind of honesty. When they saw the silver in their bags, in Bethel, at home, they want to return them. They went and told the steward for Joseph, we found silver in our bags. That, they're getting kind of honest, but not there yet. And they also said during their speech that they had 12 brothers, but one is no more. They're getting very close there. Not there yet. And after all these convictions, they never told their father what they did to Joseph. I can understand that they're not telling Joseph at this point because they didn't know who he was. They had to do it back home. They know their father. They know who he was. They know what they did. So they should have done that, but they have not done that so far. Now, after Judah did one of the most beautiful, touching speeches in the Bible and basically begged Joseph to release Benjamin, that was a defining moment. And to break the ice. That is for Joseph to break the ice. It's the right time to share. In chapter 45, Joseph could no longer stand it anymore. And so he revealed to his brother and they were stunned. They were feared. They feared Joseph greatly. And so, this is where we're going to learn more about how Joseph handled the situation. They were stunned. They were ready to be told how to go about life, how to go about reconciliation. This is how it did it. First, it did it privately. People heard him crying, but he told everybody, leave me. I'm about to talk to my family. I'm going to deal with them at the family level. It was appropriate that when God was dealing with Joseph privately, it was appropriate for him to deal with family privately. There are situations where we have to go public, but you have to go private first. Okay, private first, and if who have heard you don't want to listen to you, talk someone along. If not, take the elders with you. Okay? Second thing we can learn from how Joseph deal with reconciliation with his brother is that we can learn about the sincerity of his forgiveness. Five times Joseph was in tears and in weeping. Chapter 43, verse 30. Chapter 45, verse 2. And verses 14 and 15. And later on in chapter 50, verse 17. Folks, Joseph was in no position to hurt his brothers. He was weeping. He was crying. And so, what should we do? It is so difficult for us to forgive someone to begin with. How can we weep and cry in front of someone who hurt us? But it is important that we shed our tears when we wrong someone and when we sin against God. Sometimes we do it very lightly. We're not very serious about our asking forgiveness. And so he embraced them and really showed sincerity. And also one thing we can learn about how Joseph conduct his reconciliation and confession is that he forgave them unconditionally. Do we know anyone in the Bible that does this kind of love? Who did that? Jesus on the dying cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." They just nailed our Lord on the cross. And he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Many, many times, because of pride, we just don't want to forgive. We just don't, because we're better than God. God was on the cross, but he doesn't know where I'm at. I am more hurt than them putting him on the cross. I will not forgive. Why? And then, sometimes we just say, "I'm going to heaven." Why? If you can't forgive someone whom you see, how can you really go to heaven? I mean, I think something I have to think about. When I say you, that's me too. I have to think about that too. And in 1 John 1:9, what did it say? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our unrighteousness. That's the good thing. You don't have to go back between Bethel and Egypt in order to find forgiveness. You just fall right in front of our Maker and ask him, and he'll do it right away. And going back to God's, what we can learn from the life of Joseph, the third point I want to make is that God's big picture. It's not your picture. It's God's picture. What did Joseph say? "It is to save lives that I am here." Okay? God, Joseph knew all along that God brought him, like I was saying, to Egypt. And it was God's way of saving his people, his covenant with Abraham and Jacob, that they will be as what? Numerous as the sand in the seashore. In verse 5 and 6, he stated that it was to save life that he was in Egypt. Joseph was there to restore his family and as well as save the world. Folks, at this point, when Joseph moved his family to Goshen, there were about 70 folks in that group. And when Moses led them out of Egypt, how many were they? 50? 2.5 maybe million. After 432 years. That's a lot. That's a big remnant. It is for God's glory that we remain as a people. Not just in numbers, but in true safe remnants. And lesson number 4 is this. Joseph was used by God for us to learn about God's redemptive family plan, or the family plan. In verse 13, he instructed his brothers to bring his father which included everyone, to come down to Egypt quickly, because the famine was still going on. So the immediate plan was bring family home. Will they be here? But we know that there was also a long-term plan to keep the family going, to settle in Goshen. Joseph sent food home to care of them. In 1 Timothy 5:8, God states that we should take care of our immediate family. If you don't, you are worse than a non-believer. What I'm trying to say at this point is this. There's a time where God will use your blessings to bring others to God. And I know there's some songs, there's some sayings saying, money can't buy love. Money can't buy love. But you know what? But God can use your blessings to bring others to God, Him, and to keep His ministry going. And we appreciate that many of you have been very generous in giving to this church. That is a big blessing. And so going back to this last lesson is that if God is calling you, and I'll be saying that also during the summary, to be part of the family restoration, be careful with what you do. Be careful with who you are. Because you may be the one that God can use you to help your family. A lot of us are here, maybe most of us, if not all, most of us here are not from home. We left home and we're here. But maybe God can use you as a good agent of grace to the folks back home. Okay? Message is kind of short. Finally, what is the condition of your family and your life today? God might use to save your home, your family, or people you are close to. The reason why I put that is that maybe you don't have wife and kids, but people you are close to, especially if you are a believer. You may be far from home, but since you are a Christian, like I was saying, He may be challenging you to take the lead and speak to your family in a godly, sincere way to bring them home to Jesus. I am convinced that the Christian mission starts with you and your family. And even if you do not live with a family, it starts with you as well. Maybe there are things in the family or your life that needs to be dealt with in order to reach openness and confession. Don't wait. Be like Joseph and be the first one to take the initiative to bring true repentance. Do you have a family plan or immediate plan to face your family or someone that hurt you and need to forgive them? Maybe there is a long-term plan to continue to work with the ones you love or the ones you hurt, who have hurt you. You may be used by God as a spiritual remnant to the world around you. Remember, only through God's direction, that grace and true repentance could take place. Today is the day of salvation. Make today the day you call someone that hurt you. We got what they call emails, what the overseas call they're very cheap nowadays. And way back when I first came here, we just have to write letters back and forth. You can use letters too. What I'm trying to say is that whatever you have, contact someone back there and here. Because we don't know if we have another chance. God has used our longtime pastor and friend, Pastor Neil, to bring us many messages and has been a great model for many of us. Back and forth. You can use letters, and I hope you can apply that. Those that we learn from me to him. What I'm trying to say is that in today's passage is concerning forgiveness and making new commitment to one another. We have our own family, someone, and we have our church there as a family. And here because we don't know if we could have another chance to move forward as a remnant. God has used our long of this church, maybe, to move my pastor forward and friend pastor. As we kneel to pray for a new as many pastor messages. Let's not and wait and see. It's been a great what they can model for and bring to us, many of us. But what we can bring to the rest of the island and our families. Lead others to be a part of God's family. The mission starts with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be part of your family. Thank you for the story of Joseph and his family. Lord, salvation starts with us today. And I hope, and I just pray, that we can apply it. We will, that those that share, we learn from your great name, news, so someone can join. Today's your passage is kind of family, meaning forgiveness, forgiveness as well, making new and commitment to just pray one another, that you will help us as we wait for we are the pastor, have our own families, and we have our church in church as a pastor and a church in a permanent. It's good to master forward as a that remnant. We will start today of the late night church. Expect him maybe to bring to move forward, redemption if planned to us and our as we wait family before a new past we have to plan. Let's not wait and see what they can bring to us, but what we can bring to the rest of the island and our families. Lead others to be a part of God's family. The mission starts with you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be part of your family. Thank you for we have done the story of Chester Blank, Joseph and his family. Lord, thank you for salvation forgive starts with us today. Thank you, Lord. Tonight, and we pray, just pray that you will be with us, that will and guide us, will share your in Jesus' great news. So someone can join your family as well. And I just pray that you will help us as we wait for another pastor, interim pastor, and a permanent pastor, that we will start today. And let's not expect him to bring redemptive plan to us and our family, because we have the plan. We have the master plan to love and to forgive. Thank you, Lord, and we pray that you will be with us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.